This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I know what you guys have been waiting for. It's Tuesday on the Damage Report. J.R. Jackson here with you. Good morning. Glad to see you. Glad you're with me. I know what you're thinking right now. You're like, first of all, it's the start of the NBA season. Tonight, this guy's wearing a Spurs hat. He must be a Victor Wembanyama guy. Not really, but I'm looking forward to see what he's doing. Yes, that's most important news of the day. Now let's get to the first most important news of the day. Viviana Vigil joins me on the program today. Television producer and also host. How you doing, Viviana? I feel like it's been a long time in the making and it's finally been made.
It's finally happened. Well, I was like, where's John? And then I was like, wait a minute. I actually get to meet JR for the first time. It's amazing. I'm such a fan of your work. Happy to be here, man. It's Tuesday. It feels like Thursday, but we're going to work it out.
It should be. Yeah, exactly. It should be a good time. Our dogs have already met virtually. You know, it's all family now. I mean, we can just flow off straight from here. By the way, I mentioned TV host, producer. What is it you've been working on lately? We have a lot of things happening.
Well, in light of the strike for the WGA and then also SAG, things have been a little bit slow in La La Land. Yeah. But I have been doing a lot of writing. So I've been working on a screenplay that I really like. I call it a sad rom-com, but it's fun. It's a good one. And then we'll be gearing up for Leguizamo Does America in just a couple of months. Leguizamo Does America was a docuseries I worked on that just aired this summer. And we're going to be starting up for season two. So that's happening. And then I am kicking off a new season of my own series, Contextualize This, which streams on Twitter and on Facebook, so you guys be able to check that out. Of course, you can always follow me on Instagram. You know, I'm not so much on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, no.
Mostly Instagram, okay?
Well, on Contextualize This, you talk to smart people about the news and things that drive our society every day, am I right?
Well, I like to take really complex situations and just really contextualize it by getting an academic or somebody really educated in the field to kind of break it down to us. Why are we here? I know I had an episode about street vendors and that whole conflict within street vendors. So where did it start? Why is it a conflict? Why is it a problem? And so we kind of go back. I talked to a lot of anthropologists. My dad's a cultural anthropologist. So I've been surrounded by anthropologists my whole life. My sister's an anthropologist. So we got some good people around us. And sometimes that's all we need, you know, is to just contextualize a problem, especially in this day and age. You know, what's happening with Israel and Gaza and the Palestinians and Hamas. It's it's easy to get confused as to how we even got to this point. Yep. But it's really important for us to get that kind of contextualization. That's why critical race theory is important. We cannot forget our history. We cannot forget what brought us here now. And that's what Contextualize This is all about. So I'm excited to be bringing it back for another season. It's kind of a passion project. So when I can, I get into it.
I love that.
Thanks for bringing it up. I'll bring you on and you can, I do is I bring myself, another host, and then we bring an academic on and then we discuss things.
I was going to say, don't have me be the academic unless we're going to talk about.
No, we're the ones with the questions. We're the ones want answers and they have the answers.
I got a lot of questions. It's good to go. We'll be contextualizing actually what's going on with Donald Trump and his entire potential continuing court cases and potentially more of his buddies turning on him. As a matter of fact, we have a new one. Let's go to this first one.
In the wake of the 2020 presidential election, I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges.
Hope you guys get used to statements like that from former Donald Trump co-conspirators, buddies, attorneys. Doesn't matter. They all did the same thing, kissed his ass and did what he told them to do. There's Jenna Ellis now regretting her decision to take part in it. If she knew now what she knew then what she knows now, then maybe she wouldn't have done it. I guess that's what finding out happens with. By the way, she, in doing and reading that statement, she's now pleading guilty and is a part of a plea deal. Part of those plea deals a lot of times come to turning in or at least exposing other folks that don't want to cooperate with investigations. And that's what Jenna Ellis is doing now. This specifically, if you're wondering which one of the four different indictments and 91 charges involved, it's the one surrounding the Georgia election interference case. Yes, that one. There was other ones. But of course, that's one of the main ones. Specifically, since we heard all the audio and the coordination around it, Jenna Ellis being part of it. And we're going to tell you how she's part of it after we tell you what she's about to be giving up in exchange for a little more freedom. The conditions of this plea agreement include the requirements that she serve 5 years of probation, pay $5,000 of restitution to the Georgia Secretary of State within 30 days, and testify at hearings or trials in a case. That's the kicker. Ellis is also required to complete 100 hours of community service and write an apology letter to the citizens of the state of Georgia. Ellis has also agreed to provide any requested documents or evidence, not post about the case on social media, and not have any communication with any witnesses or the media until that case has been closed. That one particular part of it always, whenever they make an adult who's taken part in a serious crime like this write an apology letter, it seems very Bart Simpson writing it over and over on the chalkboard in the opening of The Simpsons to me. I don't know what it really does, but fine. If it's an inconvenience, I'll take it for them. A little bit more, though, because she was the one that was always standing next to Rudy Giuliani. I mean, despite the farts, despite the misinformation, despite the lies, despite the dripping hair oil or whatever the hell it was.
Shoe polish.
You know, that's right. That's right. It was, I forget the brand.
Shoe polish.
It was a squeezy brand. Ellis has implicated him as well, New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, in this plea deal and admitting that she aided and abetted his false statements to Georgia lawmakers at this December 2020 hearing, where they both peddled some baseless voter fraud claims. And last thing is what she's now charged with. Two charges in this sweeping case brought by Fani Willis: violating the state's RICO Act, soliciting the violation of oath by a public officer, and Ellis's solicitation charge is linked to her attendance, as she mentioned, I believe, at that Georgia State Judiciary Subcommittee hearing where there was some false claims of election fraud. They pushed them and they pushed them confidently, but apparently, Viviana, she couldn't know.
I had no idea that interfering with lawful elections wasn't going to get me the clout and attention that I wanted. And instead, I'm in trouble. Oh, I got caught. I don't know. Blonde tears don't have an effect on me. I'm sorry.
It works in courtrooms. I guess it works with police departments. It works with.
They're used to it working, JR. They're used to it working. That's why she tried it. They weren't even real tears, Jenna.
Are you saying it was
sad when they get caught? Everyone's sad when they get caught. Come on, I'm sorry I got caught. That's what her little Bart Simpson chalkboard's gonna say.
This is what I keep seeing, though, and I'm always been, just to introduce you to at least my perspective on Donald Trump, I'm hopeful and I'm not expecting. So how many more people will flip? Well, last week I just talked about Sidney Powell just flipped. His former attorney way back early on during his administration, he flipped. I'm forgetting everybody's names, but they all flipped. What's happened so far to this guy besides that mugshot, which is the worst moment of his entire process with dealing with the legal system? Nothing. Maybe I'm impatient, but this guy is Teflon Don for a reason. Do you see this actually sticking before we move on? Because I hate being the pessimist here.
Not to him.
Yeah.
Not to him, but to all of these co-conspirators. Yeah. Because now he needs his money that he claimed, which he never knew, was going to use to help them and their legal fees. He claimed he was going to help them, but he needs that money now to win this election. So he can't help them now. You're on your own. You shouldn't have made any mistakes. You shouldn't have believed me. Your fault.
And maybe they'll start spreading the news to other buddies and friends and people who are looking for any kind of political clout or professional progression, that this ain't the way. He's going to get you and he's going to take whatever he wants from you and leave you on the side of the road penniless.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't the sharpest tools in the shed anyway. Anyone who was trying to jump onto that Trump train when he was interfering with an election, that wasn't a good decision. So I'm not that sorry for them. I'm glad that they're having to kind of, you know, lay in their bed now that they've made it. But I think we're going to see a lot more of it and they're going to pay their price and it's going to be quiet. And Trump's still going to be, I hope he doesn't do what he claimed he could do. which you shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square. I mean, honestly, the way that things are going, if he chooses to do something that crazy, I don't know what would happen.
Well, we already know. He weaponizes his supporters to do things like that and then says they had nothing to do with it. I'm going to get them out of jail, but they're not connected to me. It doesn't have to make any sense. Speaking of more things about Donald Trump, let's shift to what's happening with him in New Hampshire. It's a bit of a dual visit here. He was there for the fun of campaigning, but he's also there for the not so fun part of being heckled as he's trying to campaign and trying to find his name on the ballot in that state. Let's watch what happened.
This way. All right, we're going to go walk to the press van. I'm not sure where our press van is at. There we go. Okay.
USA, stop the steal. Lock him up. Lock him up.
Okay, let's go ahead and toss to a commercial. We'll be live as we're here in New Hampshire.
Lock him up. Donald Trump is going to jail.
Let's toss.
That conservative network, RSBN, was covering Donald Trump leaving as he's putting his name on the ballot there in New Hampshire. He personally filed and put his name on the ballot there in New Hampshire. As he walked out, there was a bit of hecklers there. One particular gentleman with a bullhorn screaming, lock him up. Donald Trump's going to jail. He was having a great time. And I don't think they wanted that on their airwaves because that'll get you in trouble with the big guy. Still, though, he's there doing more things than just filing to run in the state. He's also talking about his normal slate of craziness when he went and campaigned there later. Let's watch what he was talking about there.
We have to be careful. You got to get out there and you got to watch those voters. You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes. You got to watch.
Donald Trump says to his followers, you don't have to vote. Don't even worry about voting. I need you to watch everyone else. You need to be poll watchers. You need to start assuming that everyone's cheating on this next election. Don't vote yourself because we don't need that. I had no intention of actually trying to win based off of votes. It was off of suppressing everyone else's and actually literally lying about what does that happen. That's the plan. Well, DeSantis, close number two behind him, decided to pounce on this one moment. In fact, the pack that supports Ron DeSantis jumped on it. And this is what they pointed out from that moment. The Never Back Down pack says Trump tells Republicans to focus on watching votes being counted on election night instead of getting out to vote. They quoted him. You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes. It's just kind of repeating what he said, Viviana. I'm not sure where the hit job is. That's what MAGA wants.
We don't need votes, guys. We have illegal activities that are going to get us in office. I like that they cut away from that. Yeah. That him leaving the courthouse to Mike Lindell and the My Pillow like infomercial.
It's awesome.
Oh, we're going to cut away. Want a pillow? Like it just. I can't get enough of that guy. I don't know what it is.
It's not pillows. It's socks. It's sheets. It's comforters. It's all.
Has he expanded his collection?
I think there was slippers. He's now jumped on. I'm not sure if robes have been included yet. They're gonna have orange ones, kind of the jumpsuits. Yeah. I'm sorry. He's not offering criminal charges. Sorry. I get the criminals mixed up.
No, but actually, all of his like consumers are. So he's gonna have to create something for them.
Well, the pillows do also. There was one pillow that had Bible verses on it and like a sunset. It was, you know, very much like a postcard or an email that you might
get.
There
was another pillow that had a secret zipper where you could put secret files in and just keep them. But that was too hidden for his cohorts. So they prefer it out in the open.
Way too inconspicuous for them. But that's at least the scene there. And as we've seen, these conservative outlets don't want any of this seen as if people aren't really like that. This alternate reality that they expect their followers or their supporters or viewers of their channel to really believe in doesn't always make a lot of sense if they pay attention to literally anything else. And I guess that's what's been working so far. By the way, in doing that, we've fooled a lot of people into thinking that whatever Donald Trump says is the gospel. So he continued on because as he was off in New Hampshire, Donald Trump wasn't only lying about his entire his legal cases, but also he started talking about the Israel-Palestine conflict, which finds him all over the place because we've seen him complaining about Benjamin Netanyahu, despite the fact that from America's, the governmental stance is all backing all of his actions and everything that he does. Donald Trump finds himself somewhere in the middle because he just has this disdain for certain people, but doesn't really want to say it out loud.
I-
I will implement strong ideological screening of all immigrants. If you hate America, if you want to abolish Israel, if you don't like our religion, which a lot of them don't, if you sympathize with jihadists, then we don't want you in our country, and you are not getting in. On day one, I will immediately restore and expand the Trump travel ban.
I'm getting flashbacks and deja vu. He's back on Muslim bans and immigration blocks from certain people from certain countries and a highly detected screening based off of your religion, because this is America somehow for them. I think he missed this one part about this. They'd like to talk about the Second Amendment. There's something before it. It's the first one. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Here's more. Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. They like to talk about amendments, but they don't like to read them. So as he's talking about this and going to about how he's going to go about his next term after his gap in these 4 years, he's going to go back doing the same things, just, I guess, a little bit more egregiousness, anger, revenge.
He's playing the greats. He's playing the greats, JR. That's what works. That's what rattled up his base, right? First of all, let me just remind everyone that when you do pledge an oath of citizenship, when you're an immigrant to the United States, you do have to pledge that you support the United States. I don't know what abolishing Israel means. I don't know if that's something that they ask people. I don't know why that's even on the table. He is renowned for throwing out these like grenades that he knows is going to get attention. One of them is the Muslim ban. He was really proud of that. First of all, I don't think anyone's going to pass their citizenship test if they go in there and they say they're a jihadist. Okay, so I don't think you need to implement that, Trump. I think that's pretty much, you know, Homeland Security has that checked off already. So he's just trying to get everybody excited. He's playing the greats. This is the greatest hits.
This is actually very similar to the way he runs his business, because the money's made off of his name. It's not made off how he runs the business so well, because he's failed in so many different areas of business, but he does know how to promote himself. So he promotes all the hate as far as his political approach is gone. He'll promote the hate, the hits that everyone loves. But when he's actually doing it, what's the plan to actually do all this hateful legislation or attempts to keep certain folks out or raise this level of screening when it comes to folks just entering the country? And then when you do it, there has to be someone else in the country, many folks who disagree with these policies, that he assumes just don't exist. So if you're going to run this type of approach, you can't do it in a place where you think democracy exists, where citizens' voices and rights are actually represented in their elected officials. He doesn't believe in the United States of America, at least what we say the United States of America is, because that's just way too hard. It's too much work. So of course—
You hit the nail on the head. He's just trying to bolster his name up again. He's trying to make money. He has no plan at all. He has nothing other than to get more power. That's all he wants.
And then what he does with that is then what he's looking to actually have a plan towards, because he saw the hurdles that he ran into the first time around, and this is how he's going to get away with it from the next time. One more switch to though, because you guys, as Trump is off in New Hampshire after, you know, he got heckled a little bit and also proposed how much he's going to keep certain folks out of the country yet again, he also had the opportunity to talk just craziness, because that feeds the minions. Let's watch.
Remember when Biden, I'd like to take him to the back of the barn. I dream of that. You know what I do with him? Oh, I dream of it. I'd hit him right in that fake nose. That fake nose. They'd have plastic lying all over the floor. But I don't want to say that.
I don't want to say it. I just said it right before. I said I don't want to say that. Again, so back, we're talking about the hits from the original Donald Trump 2016 run. It's violence. It's talking about banning people and how much you hate the other. And now it's back to punching again, because, you know, I remember that time that Biden said something about being a tough guy, punched him in his nose. Except he said one thing that stuck with the real visual people in this country. Some people call them Q, Anon. Because after he said that, some folks jumped on it and said, I knew it. In fact, let's go to this random crazy person on the internet. He said Trump once said that Biden's a different person who doesn't know he's alive. He's remembering all this. Now he says he punches fake plastic nose off. Would he be saying these things if this were all part of a benevolent secret patriot plan? The truth is, The truth is, he said, based off of, I want to pause every time someone says the truth is, based off of what should be your first question. This guy says, the truth is, the cabal put a rapidly aged clone of Joe Biden in the White House because that's the only puppet they believed they could justify stealing the election with. That makes no sense. White hats aren't running a show. Good doesn't pretend to be evil. Trump isn't the president. We're watching a black hat clone show. Be proactive, not complacent. What are we afraid of? Even if all that's true, Aviana, what exactly are we afraid of? What's the white hat not running the show? And if Trump's not running the country, but then a gelatinous version of Joe Biden is, who is doing it? Because I heard it was Obama last week before it was Hillary Clinton. And then after it was Bill, I don't know anymore. I think that's the point though.
That's what they want us to not know. First of all, they need to know what biology and sciences are all about, okay? If he is a lizard man, his nose is not plastic. It cuts off like their tail and it just regenerates. So it's not plastic at all. He's just used to all the plastic surgery around him. That's why he got confused.
Yeah, but, this is why I'm glad you're on the show today. I wouldn't have known that at all.
The lizard prince, here is the real horrible thing that's going on. Yeah, Biden actually isn't really that in power. It's the DNC that's in power, just like it's the RNC that's in power. Well, they're a little rickety as well. The DNC has a lot of power, and that's why we didn't see Biden. That's why we didn't see, why am I blanking on his name? Bernie, in the race the last election cycle, because the DNC has so much power, they'll push out anybody they want, and they are propping up Biden. So these crazy lunatics who believe in gelatinous masses are not that off that it is some sort of like figurehead. That's how we ended up having Feinstein in office until the end of her life. You know, we need to really take control of the DNC and make sure that it's a more valid organization right now and not just power hungry grabs that Nancy Pelosi runs. Come on, lady.
And I think a lot of people continue to support that system based off of the fear that the other party would somehow benefit from pulling back from, or at least taking some of the power and voice away from some of these large organizations that help run the party, or at least kind of be the voice of the party and who gets these opportunities. There's a fear based off it. So we end up with the Joe Bidens of the world, which are like,
but then you end up with crazy things saying like gelatinous plastic people. It's not that complicated. It's a little bit more basic than that. And it's been the history of politics forever, really. And so we just always have to question power. We always have to question those that are in power. That includes Joe Biden. If Trump comes in, we're gonna ask him. We're not gonna get any answers from him, but we can continue to question him as well. That's what our responsibility as a society is. And so it's easy to get distracted with all this nonsense, especially when you have somebody crazy like Donald Trump up there. But the DNC is not making it any easier because it has become a this or that. And the Simpsons have a really great episode about that with Kane and Konos, the aliens. And they're like, it's a two-party system. You got to vote for one of us. They're both aliens. You know,
the aliens were always on point. You mentioned history and I think you also mentioned the craziness behind it. Let's combine those two because Donald Trump had a little bit of a history lesson and he also somehow melded himself into it. That's not the surprising part. Surprising part is how ridiculously clueless he is. Watch this.
Look what happened this weekend with two good people. They hound them and they scare them and but we don't get scared. We don't get scared. I'll tell you what, I don't mind being Nelson Mandela because I'm doing it for a reason.
Nelson Mandela was charged with having organized an illegal strike and with leaving the country without valid travel documents. On the trip in question, he had traveled to Addis Ababa to attend the Pan-African Freedom Movement of East and Central Africa Conference in February of 1962 to rally support for MK, an underground wing of the African National Congress. You tell me if that has anything to do with what Donald Trump is dealing with.
Where's Will Smith when we need him? We needed him to go up there and then say, you take Mandela's name out of your mouth. That's what I needed in that moment. How dare he?
I'm ready for a podcast where Melania comes out and talks about how they haven't been married for the past 7 years anyway. Sorry. We've gone over time. Let's take a break. See what you guys are talking about when it comes to these first two stories. Love having you on, Viviana. We'll talk to you guys in a couple more seconds and then we'll get back to more as we get back on the damage report. But what we're going to get back to is the state of the race. You guys know this, and I think I'm one of five people in the country. There's a thing about Tim Scott that continues to interest me, and he's back in the news, but not for good reason.
And it has this touch. We'll talk to you guys in a second.
Oh, I got some more I want to read you guys. I'll have to save it for later because we're a little bit behind. I got lots of things I want to talk to you about, to be honest, specifically the state of the second place when it comes to trailing Donald Trump in this GOP primary. And let's go to Nikki Haley. Why not? Forget it. We got Nikki Haley. We've got Tim Scott, a couple of South Carolinians that are running for president and so far haven't gotten the traction that they were hoping to get. But I think the fortunes are shifting a little bit for Nikki Haley because new polling shows that Haley and Ron DeSantis, if you remember that guy, they're neck and neck for second place behind Donald Trump by about, 100 points. But still, he's trying to come out and challenge him. Here's what Haley's been talking about. Her support has risen to 11% of registered voters who plan to vote in the GOP primaries or caucuses, up from the 4% in the USA Today Suffolk poll taken in June. That's pretty good. And just one percentage point below DeSantis. His 12% standing was a steep fall from his 23% support 4 months ago. Trump continues to dominate the field, though, as I said, not by 100%, but 58%. By 58% and up 10 points from the previous point. Here's where Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley are going after the angles towards Donald Trump to see if they can get more traction, or at least Ron DeSantis can stop losing that traction. Here's what he said about when DeSantis called on Republican candidates to oppose some more tax dollars, quote unquote, U.S. tax dollars going to the Gaza Strip. He said, no U.S. tax dollars to the Gaza Strip. Hamas is holding American hostages and Biden wants to fund them. I challenge every Republican running to step up to the plate and oppose Biden's $100 million gift to Hamas. Nikki Haley jumped in. She goes, you know what? I have some foreign policy experience and I'm going to show it to you now. So she does. She says, we did this in 2018 when we eliminated USA to UNRWA. Sure what it stands for. I'm not Nikki Haley and I'm not a foreign policy expert. She says, welcome to the fight. Actions are better than talk.
Was that Rwanda, JR?
I was thinking, but I didn't want to say it if it was wrong, but it seems that way. But she said they did what he's concerned about. So apparently he's wrong on this whole thing. And as they fight each other, I'm not sure if DeSantis had more to say back. They're also going after Trump, as I mentioned. She went after him on Monday about his trip up there to New Hampshire and how he does what he always does. Outside of the speeches, outside of the craziness, outside of the riling people up for violence, he just doesn't pay anybody or the city for the services that they provide. So she decided to set up and point out how she does the opposite. And this was from this headline, Siren, New Hampshire town eats Trump security bills while Haley pays local police. Oh, she's such a sweet person, isn't
she?
Awesome?
Really, she's trying to fund them. Just a clarification, mm-hmm. It's standard for United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. She's saying that we didn't give them aid before, so screw them again.
What's the problem? We already took care of this problem. They're not humans, right? So this is the details of what she's been paying police while Donald Trump doesn't. Because this is hopefully for her a shift in the race again. The Trump campaign reportedly owes $3,788 to New Hampshire law enforcement officials in Concord. And another $12,870 to Manchester. The Haley campaign said it has paid $1,722 total to six New Hampshire police departments throughout July and August. I don't know, man. I get it. And actually, if I was Republican, I'd prefer Nikki Haley over Donald Trump, obviously. But I don't know if it's a flex to be like, we paid $1,700 to six
police departments. We paid our bills. I mean, Trump is renowned for not paying his bills. This is not even anything. Like, she's trying to get him on whatever. And, I don't like Nikki Haley, but I can understand why the Republican, any Republicans might favor her, because she does seem to be the more moderate in a group of just insane clowns. Mm. So, she's trying to be reasonable and rational here and saying, well, we paid our bills and you didn't pay your bills. And Trump's like, don't care.
And she's like, we don't have four indictments. I'm like, oh my God, what kind of candidate are you?
Yeah. I don't have a mugshot. Oh, you're out of the race.
It's a problem for you guys. Now let's jump to Tim Scott, because look, we have Nikki Haley who's gaining ground in the presidential race. And then we have Tim Scott, the tale of two South Carolinian candidates here. And Tim Scott's people have decided to kind of shut it down a little bit, at least when it comes to right now, when it comes to these ad buys. Because the main super PAC supporting Scott abruptly announced to donors in a memo that they were canceling millions of dollars worth of these ad buys and television ads that were supposed to be for the fall because it ain't working out. In fact, I like their words better. Let's go to this from the New York Times. We aren't going to waste our money. That's the line I like. We're not going to waste our money when the electorate isn't focused or ready for a Trump alternative. It's what Rob Collins, who's a Republican strategist and also a co-chairman of that super PAC, wrote in this memo to donors. He says, we have done the research. We've studied the focus groups. We've been following Tim on the trail. This electorate is locked up and money spent on mass media isn't going to change the minds until we get a lot closer to voting. I don't know how you get there, though. More, though. The super PAC called the Trust and Mission PAC, it's pretty clever because it's the Tim PAC, Trust and Mission PAC, has been one of the largest advertisers in the race, spending roughly $5 million in Iowa this year. In addition to the super PAC, Scott's campaign has also spent aggressively on TV advertising, spending more than $12.5 million on ads to run through the end of November. That's what the campaign said. So no one really knows exactly, Vivian, how much they're canceling, but it could be up to $15 million because that's how much they're kind of spending. But they're going to hold their water, or at least hold their money, until if he survives the fall, I guess, or to some degree gets through this where they can kick it back in. I think they're hoping maybe for a Donald Trump, I don't know, it's not going to get to that point. The removal, getting out of the race, more legal issues. I'm not sure what they're waiting on, but if it's not working now, I don't see it working later.
The only one winning is the advertisers. Better getting that money.
That's where all the money comes from. You know what? I was talking last week. There was a, I think it was a challenger to Ted Cruz. There's also a challenger to Menendez on the Democratic side. And both of them are getting any this little bit of media coverage because of the amount of money that they've raised. And it's a sad state in our political, election, in our campaign seasons when, oh, this guy's viable because he's raised $20 million. Because that'll go to what? Advertising, paying people to, you know, circle the country and then advertising. Look, $12.5 million, over $12.5 million just from Tim Scott's part. How much have you seen from Tim Scott? How much has his ads, how much have his ads convinced you? They spent $12.5 million.
It's crazy. It's a lot of money.
For a guy who's probably going to drop out. And of course, there's folks who like him. Let's go to graphic 10, because this stood out to me. John Cornyn, he praised his colleague, talking about Tim Scott, as a spokesman for the Reagan hopeful, optimistic message. But then he then conceded that it hasn't seemed to convince the party's voters. He says, I'm disappointed because he's such a terrific guy and has a great message. And asked if he hopes Scott can stay in the race until Iowa, Cornyn said this. At some point, there's going to have to be a consolidation when the outcome is inevitable. So hell no. And he's got to get out of the race.
So hell no. I love it. I love it. That's exactly right.
This summer, Joe Biden said, where's the money? Well, we found some. We're still digging into the evidence subpoenaed from bank accounts belonging to Hunter Biden, the son of President Joe Biden, and James and Sarah Biden, the brother and sister-in-law of the president. A document that we're releasing today raises new questions about how President Biden personally benefited from his family's shady influence peddling of his last name and their access to him.
We've got bombshell evidence here. James Comer, who's been in front of TV cameras and not having much anything else to say, he's got bombshell evidence. And by the way, as you guys listen to the rest of what he's saying here, pay attention to words politicians say. He says, this document raises new questions, new questions. This document doesn't show anything, doesn't have any concrete evidence as to the conclusion that we're coming to. We've got new questions. That's fine. Let's see what else, what more questions these documents raise, James.
Bank records obtained by the House Committee on Oversight have revealed a $200,000 direct payment from James and Sarah Biden to Joe Biden in the form of a personal check. Here's some important context about this check we've obtained in our investigation. In 2018, James Biden received $600,000 in loans from AmeriCorps, a financially distressed and failing rural hospital operator. According to bankruptcy court documents, James Biden received these loans, quote, based upon representations that his last name, Biden, could open doors and that he could obtain a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections.
Political connections, your name, sounds like Americans to me. Folks with money that like to tout their name around and potentially get some kind of agreements with companies, corporations, or other rich folks. Because they're like, well, later on this will all work out. It's my loose translation of what it is I think they're trying to say. But here's more concrete versions of it. Because Democrats on the House Oversight Committee say that the personal bank records recently provided to the committee do show that Biden loaned his brother money. Have you guys ever loaned your brother money? I'm going to stop giving you my thought process. Let's just take this straight. I'm going to stop being slanted here. This is what's going on. These records actually show that President Biden was the one who stepped in to help family members when they needed support. including by providing short-term loans to his brother. That's what Jamie Raskin said, Democrat. Raskin also added that the 1,400 pages of records the Republicans got from their subpoenas, which asked banks for several years of records relating to the president's brother and son, show no wrongdoing, but do reveal payments for things like groceries, vet visits, and plumbing repairs. A little bit more because we have an image as well. HuffPost obtained a check, obtained check images and a spreadsheet reflecting wire transfer records that mostly corroborate Raskin's claim about the $200,000 transaction from March of 2018. Keep that date in mind. The documents suggest an account connected to Joe Biden sent James Biden $40,000 in July of 2017 and $200,000 in January of 18, and say that James Biden paid the money back without interest. The wire transfer records do not say, however, that the payments to James Biden were loans. There's that check that was paid back to Joe Biden. And once you see a copy of a check, the actual handwriting and signatures, it means it's whatever it is you want to say it is and not what it actually was. Viviana, thoughts?
I think I need to hit up my brothers and sisters a little bit. I mean, $200,000. I'm like, what kind of, I got six brothers and sisters. I got to start making some calls this afternoon. It sounds like James was in a bit of a pinch and he had a lot of vet bills and he paid it back. I mean, I don't know. When people start saying like shady evidence, but they're not giving like actual facts, they're just saying that they think it's shady. And this is more questions, but they don't even say what the questions are. They have just been hunting for this. And I'm sure that there has been some BS going on with the Bidens and things going on. But it's like, really? Is this what we're concerned about right now? We have horrific things happening around the globe. We have a very important election coming up. And this is what they're putting their attention on.
What we look for is principle, is the thing. I'm sorry, Viviana. Go ahead.
No, I'm just, exactly. And this guy Comer has no principle. He's just up there spewing just, you know, gossip, essentially.
And hoping that it'll change people's minds or maybe take their minds off of, number one, what's going on in the House, how they still don't have a speaker yet. Number two, Donald Trump is campaigning around the country, but after campaigns, he's going into courtrooms. All these things you want to maybe get people's minds off of, and then so maybe you want to have insert more thoughts or doubts about what is that's going on. Because again, it's the singular process of our followers and our voters listen only to us. So whatever reality we want to give them is the one they're going to take in. And even when doing so, the one thing I got to give to James Comer, when he doesn't have anything, he does kind of admit it, even though he came out saying, I have everything. Let's watch that as he's stretching about how it's troubling what he's seeing.
Even if this was a personal loan repayment, it's still troubling that Joe Biden's ability to be paid back by his brother depended on the success of his family's shady financial dealings. Some immediate questions President Biden must answer for the American people. Does he have documents proving he lent such a large sum of money to his brother? And what were the terms of such financial agreement? Did he have similar financial agreements with other family members that led them to make similar large payments to him? And did he know that the same day James Biden wrote him a check for $200,000, James Biden had just received a loan for the exact same amount from business dealings with a company that was in financial distress and failing? The House Oversight Committee will soon announce our next investigative actions and continue to follow the money.
I'll continue to follow. I'll continue to listen. I'll continue to wait for the evidence. There's more questions, as he said. But some of those questions, whatever reason they want to ask them, you can ask them.
Here's a question, JR. My question is, have Trump's kids ever used the Trump name to get ahead in life?
Has Trump. This guy walked up. Remember when he first came president, they walked out and had the whole stack of things that he's going to avoid, or I forget what it was even about, but he's not, this is all the businesses and this and that I'm going to divest and change from. And then after that press conference, he didn't do any of the things that he said he was going to do.
None.
It wasn't that long ago. It's not like it was 1992. No. Come on, bro. No. Maybe act like it was Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and you remember everything then.
Then you'll remember it all.
Let's remember to take this break. I'm behind on this one as well. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys, the ones that I missed out on, and also more of you guys from this as well. We've got more child labor, though, coming back. And one of my favorite figures of the day, I talk about Lindell. Also, one representative, George Santos, is also back in the news, and he's got more lies. Fun times. I'll talk to you guys in a second. Maybe you guys have heard of George Santos, or maybe you've heard of, what is his name, Anthony DeVolder. One of those guys. He's apparently skirting some of these things he's been caught up in his lies, how he got himself into Congress. But there's more coming because the dude just can't help himself. So George Santos is now, I guess, not being believed for a situation with his niece. Apparently a kidnapping. Very serious story. We just don't know where it lands. Representative George Santos recently told a New York Times reporter that his five-year-old niece was kidnapped from a Queens, New York playground. A, quote, high-ranking police official, however, told the same publication that the incident was likely made up. Likely made up. I wonder why it's only likely. We'll see. Because Santos dialed up reporter Grace Ashford, and she originally wrote the initial Santos expose for the first time in September of 2023, just last month. Several other one-on-one calls reportedly occurred between the two in the weeks after, where at one point he said that he and his husband have, quote, have had to defend themselves after they began receiving threats post-publication from the expose, I suppose. So along with mentioning one previously reported incident where someone phoned him to say they were going to bash his head in with a bat, he alleged he's also received a different kind of threat. This is about the niece. So the niece was at a playground before suddenly disappearing, only to be found 40 minutes later via security footage alongside two Chinese men. By the way, is this a threat or is this a kidnapping? One of the threats was that she was kidnapped. That's no longer a threat. That's action. Anyways, continuing, Ashford added that Santos heavily implied that the alleged kidnapping was due to his own prior statements, because of course it comes back to him, about the Chinese Communist Party. And he said the following when asked if he thought that the Chinese government was behind it. Look, I don't want to go into like conspiracy theory, is what he told the New York Times. But you know, if the shoe fits, right?
This guy watched Rush Hour late one night and he came up with this story the next day. I swear to God, he was like, you know what? This is a good story. I'm going to mention this tomorrow.
What? Those things where you see someone, when you see someone do something, it's like creative, like, oh, I wish I'd have thought of that.
Where's the little girl? What little girl? I'm sorry. Listen, so I hope no little girls were harmed.
Exactly.
I was,
exactly. I was totally going to reset and say that if a little girl was kidnapped, no one is joking about the kidnapping of little kids. But look, this unnamed police chief or police high-ranking police official, graphic four. New York Times reporter Santos spun this tale into this to the police contact. They asked him this as well. So that high-ranking police official confirmed that officers had been called and looked into that incident. They found no evidence of Chinese Communist Party involvement.
They didn't call Jackie Chan. They didn't call the private detective.
It's a shame. What are you going to do? What are we doing here? So again, this is for more sympathy, more, I guess, stories of him being this above level figure who isn't a liar. Yeah. Constantly. And again, if this is true, I'm glad they got her back.
Doesn't appear to be true.
About these two, foreign figures that came into New York and decided to take someone's niece. Oh, George.
He's the boy. He's the boy who cried conspiracy. We're not buying it, dude. You're kind of just stop. The narcissism of this guy is through the roof. It has to always be about him. Yeah.
But he gets upset when reporters follow him and say, "What are you lying about this week, George?"
Well, the truth is, he is the Chinese little girl. Wait, it was a Chinese little girl or was it a little girl?
His niece.
Okay, he's the little girl that got kidnapped. He was dressed as a little girl. He got scared. And then now here we are. I don't know. I really hope there was nothing that happened. There's nothing worse than children getting hurt. I mean, that's very scary. And that's even more egregious to make something up if it is in fact made
100%.
Up.
And lastly, by the way, he mentioned he and his husband. I still don't know how the Republican Party, with all of their principles, and how much they hate gay folks, still haven't pointed out how much they would hate him. Maybe because
it's because they're pro-life gays. So they're okay. They're okay in their book.
Until some of their foot soldiers go on attacking folks. We got one more story. It's the D block, you guys. Let's go through really fast. We have a few minutes to go through it because I needed this update because I have wondered recently what's going on with these child labor laws. And we saw famously Sarah Huckabee Sanders, now governor down in Arkansas, ready to sign more legislation to roll it back. But she's not the only one. And the reasons are horrific. So these child labor violations have been soaring in the U.S. Yeah. Crazy how that works. But efforts to render these solutions through legislation have received little bit of support. Here's some of the things that have been spreading across the country. This one bill would allow 14-year-olds to serve alcohol in Wisconsin. When can they drink? What kind of settings are they serving alcohol in? Are they sneaking some of it in a shot glass? Who cares? They're working. Also, Ohio Senate passes a bill that loosened child labor protections as well. And all it's like to become law because they control all areas of this legislation. Also, I mentioned Arkansas and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Arkansas governor signs a bill rolling back child labor protections, as we had already seen. That was earlier along in the year. So details of what's happening since all this has been going down. In the most recent fiscal year, the U.S. Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division reported 835 cases of child labor violations affecting 3,876 minors and 688 minors employed in violation of hazardous occupation. It's a 283% increase since 2015. Civil penalties against employers total just under 4.3 million. Is that where their problem came? Because employers that look to exploit children, maybe undocumented folks, and then use them for slave labor, maybe they wouldn't complain to their elected officials, the Republicans, and said, you know what, you guys, we need to exploit children. I need to go back to pre, 1930, and make sure that we get back to the way things used to be. We're regressives, right? So at the state level, labor departments also saw sharp increases in labor violations last year. A record number of employers were cited for child labor violations in Washington and in New York. The state labor department reported a 68% increase in child labor violations just last year as well. This is the disgusting part, because of course, outside of just exploiting children, using them for cheap to little labor, and also extending them for certain hours that maybe other folks can't work, they're also endangering them, and then accidents happen. So several high-profile food service corporations have also faced some fines over child labor violations this year as well. McDonald's, Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, Sonic, Dunkin', Dave & Buster's, Subway, Arby's, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Popeyes, and Zaxby's, and other corporations like Tyson Foods and Purdue Farms, they're under federal investigation for their child labor violations. And by the way, people are dying. Children are dying. Many of these are farm accidents because they'll have kids work agriculture. And that's the main area where these things go down the most. My last quote on this before I let you jump in here, Viviana, is, and I read this as well, and this is what really stood out to me. And this isn't a graphic, but this is one of my favorite things that really gave the details of how this is affecting and how they want this to be because of some labor shortages. So legislators in Wisconsin, Ohio, and Iowa are actively considering relaxing more child labor laws to address their worker shortages, and which are driving up wages and contributing to inflation. They're driving up wages. If they're openly saying how this is driving up wages, so they need some child labor, that means they're looking to pay them less. So if you're this parent, and that's what Sarah Huckabee Sanders and all these Republicans are saying, is we're going to give power back to the parents. If a mom wants her kid at 10 years old to work, they're going to do it. Can a mom at their kid at 10 years old use their social security number to get ahead? Because look, if we're using humans for whatever they can help us out with, despite their autonomy over themselves or their future, who cares? It's just a parent looking out for themselves, because every parent, as we know, makes the best decisions for their children.
We have to remember that we are in a place of extreme capitalism in the United States. And these child labor laws affecting children who have been worked in the agricultural community have always been on the books. You've always been able to be a child, I think as young as 10, maybe even 8, working in the field. My grandmother used to be a field worker, and she would bring her kids to the field and they would help her, or they would just sit on the side if they're young enough. So this has already been the case. We're in a real labor movement here in the United States right now. There's a lot of unionization going on. Companies are running scared. We need laws like this to do exactly what you said, JR, to exploit children, particularly undocumented children. It's happening even in Los Angeles. We had Texas busing out immigrant families and putting them in all of these cities, sanctuary cities across the US. Well, now these so-called sanctuary cities are going, ooh, we could actually put these guys in low-paying wages, jobs, and get that work that we need. Instead of figuring out this labor situation where people can get paid fairly, let's find ways to exploit it. And it's happening across the board. It's not just Sarah Huckabee Sanders and all the extreme conservatives. It's happening on the Democratic side as well. So we have to be really, really hawk-eyed in making sure we protect children here, because they, you'll have parents that say, I want them to work. We already went through this. Again, critical race theory. Let's go through history again and see what happens when parents are able to put their kids out of school and into work. What happens to society?
Knowing history and knowing how things work are one of those things that they want to ignore so that they can repeat it. That's the whole purpose. By the way, my pop's blue collar, hard hand labor guy, installed carpets, build additions to rooms. You know, he created landscapes for people's houses. He does this hard tour. Not doing it as he's retired, but I was 15, 16 years old helping him with some of these jobs. And the thing is what I wasn't doing was helping him at 11, 12 years old, driving the work van, because that's illegal. But at what, 14 years old in Wisconsin, you can serve alcohol? Why? The law is they can't, but they'll just change it. So maybe in my state, wherever I worked with my pops, I can be 12 years old and they'd be like, yeah, so I'm a little tired after the workday. JR, you just drive home. Doesn't matter. Well, hopefully the legislators will flip this law. It's insane and it puts other people as well as these children in danger. This is the pro-life party. Likes to talk about protecting kids, you know. And except from
not after they're born. It's just in utero. That's they can't work when they're in utero, but after they come out, put them to work.
They've been doing enough. Let's take this break, you guys. We have the hour break here, and when we come back, we have the aftermath. Maybe loosen up a little bit. Actually, one of my favorite stories is here in the aftermath. Viviana's going to hang on and stay with us. But if you guys want to, of course, become members, youtube.com/thedamagereport/join. Make that happen. But before then, we have a few minutes. The aftermath is coming. So please hold on tight to your ass cheeks. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.